for the painting. It's like standing in a hedgerow and looking out on the lakes of Killarney and seeing the mountains and the lakes. So beautiful is the scene here in Croke Park. I have never seen anything like it. The flags are green and gold. What's going to happen in Kerry for the weekend? What's going to happen in Killarney tomorrow night? What's going to happen in Tralee? And what about all the schools around the county when the Samuel Wild Cup comes into the schools all around the county? Oh, this is something we've all dreamed about, Ian. This is something that will go down in history. Marvellous day for Kerry.
Something we all dreamed about and something that will go down in a day in history. The great words of Wishy Fogarty, immortalised, of course, because of our guests here this evening. Good evening, and you're very welcome to a very special Terrace Talk here on Radio Kerry. It's the Monday before the All-Ireland final. It's building up. It's getting exciting. Now, we have something really for you to look forward to here this evening. But first, have you got your flags up? We asked you last week to get those flags up. Have you got tickets sorted? Are you staying overnight? Can you afford to stay overnight even with those Dublin prices? Are you going on the train? Are you going on the local bus company? Get us all that information here this evening because we want to build up the atmosphere. Now tonight we are here coming to you live in a sun-drenched Billy O'Shea's bar and restaurant, I suppose, here in Killorgland. Plenty of guests for you to go through the evening with you as well. But we're looking for your comments as well, and get your comments in there to our usual numbers as well. Delighted to be joined here, obviously, by Billy O'Shea starting up. We also have Stephen Stack. He's the cornerback. He's the man that started the famine and ended the famine, people said. He won one medal and won another one 11 years later. So we'll be talking to him about that. And a person that kept all that team together and in more ways than one, we're delighted as well to be joined here on the first panel by Eva Vera, all the way from Galway, but she's promised me she has plenty of Kerry stories, and she of course was the Kerry physio back in 1997, 25 years ago. Billy, I suppose we'll just be done with it, okay, because when I said at the start that we were having our show over in Billy O'Shea's, and I asked the guy from South Kerry, will you give me three things that you remember about that game? He says, Fitzy's 9 pints, Billy Shea's broken legs, and me doing my best, he says, to hydrate Eamon Breen during the homecoming when he was above at North Kerry. So I can't ask you about the first or the third one, but I will ask you about the broken leg and be done with it. It was a fairly dramatic experience, obviously, Billy. 15 or 18 minutes into the game and bang, Morris hit something that wasn't the ball.
Yeah, it was kind of an unusual scenario, right, when I suppose if a fella gets injured in the match, you know, that it's disappointing for the player themselves, but I suppose the manner in which it had happened as well, and on the occasion itself, it was kind of highlighted greater than any other injury, I suppose, that was ever done before. But personally, it was disappointing, all right. I would admit that. I was very disappointed. It's your first time getting to an All-Ireland final at senior level. We waited for so long. 1986 was the last time that Kerry won in All-Ireland, and we'd had an awful lot of barren years prior to that. And I think leading up to the game, you know, there was a fantastic buzz around the county. You know, I mean, particularly in Killorgland at the time, because we had the captaincy of the Kerry team in Mike and Liam Hassett, and there was a great buzz around here as well. So it was excitement around the town of Killorgland. But when the incident itself happened, it was just one of those freak things, you know, that I had played the ball into Derek Kinnear. Kenneth Mortimer, who was marking him, just got a fist to it. The ball broke. I was going down for it, and just as I went down, all I heard was "leave it." And I had a fair idea what was happening, and I knew straight away what had happened. And I went down for a while. And the funny thing about it was that Dr. Dave Ganey came over, and he took one look, and I'd say it has gone, Dave. Yeah, the bone sticking out would indicate that, he says.
Right, okay.
So
there was no wrapping up for the second
half. There was no real analysis needed in that respect, I think, from a doctor's point of view, anyway.
Good God. Come here, just continue that story. I mean, like, the boys obviously went on to win the All-Ireland, but you were isolated from that. Obviously, you were sent off to hospital. Did you miss the whole cup lift and all that kind of stuff?
No. What actually happened was that I went off to the matter, and they saw the Kerry jersey, and they obviously heard we were coming in, so somebody said, we can bring you to a television monitor if you wish. Will you be okay to watch it? And I said, oh yeah, I'll drive on. And they said they would postpone the operation until the match was finished. And then they were just about to wheel me off, and one fella saw that I wanted to see the rest of it. He said, look, we'll wait to see the presentation of the cup.
And
I said, well, fair play to you.
Yeah.
And they wheeled me off then after that, and sure, I was as happy as Larry going into an operation after seeing Liam Hassett pick up the Sam Maguire.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose, Aoife, it's a dramatic thing to happen in any game. It happened 97, 25 years ago, broken leg. You're the physio, obviously. You can't go out and put water on it, and Dr. Dave has already decided that the bone is sticking out and there's no need. What did that do on the bench that day, you know, when other players heard news of the injury, or was it just a case of, we'll Billy off and let's get on with it?
I can remember actually going on with Dave that day, and you know, in fairness to Billy, he was very composed out on the pitch. He knew himself, I'd say. Billy, I remember you saying, it happened to me before, I know it's gone, and so on. And he was very calm, he was very composed, and I think that very much helped the rest of the team at that stage. Then it's a case of get him off, get the best care he can and you can get for him in the hospital, and just get on with the rest of the game. We had, you know, you have to, I suppose, as a physio or as a doctor, your role is to take care of the players that are out there on the pitch. And you know, we had a number of players that were carrying injuries into that game, and we had to look out for them. And you know, you have to always be aware of what's happening on the pitch and the day as well. So but I, you know, as soon as the game was over, the thoughts of everybody, I think, turned to Billy and how he was getting on. And I can remember the crowd came onto the pitch, and I can remember the players, you know, being inside. I don't know if you remember this. We were inside, I think, under the Hogan stand. Actually, we were shepherded in under the Hogan stand to give the officials a chance to clear the pitch a bit, to allow us to get back to the dressing rooms. And I can remember the talk amongst the players. All of the players was, you know, how's Billy? Any word of Billy? Any word of Billy? And I didn't have any, you know, we didn't have mobile phones, and we didn't have things on us at that stage that you could give any update. Yeah. But everybody was very concerned for his welfare, and delighted to hear he was able to watch the match and so on.
He recovered anyway. 25 years later, the bone's certainly gone in anyway, so he's safe enough. Stephen, I suppose at the start of the week we were doing a bit of research, and of course, and somebody said to me, you should lead with this. He said that all 15 players did know all Ireland won and no medal at all, and it's a great story, and you know, they waited so long, and of course you destroyed all that, because you know, I obviously did a little bit more research above North Kerry, and said, I think Stephen Sackett, when I think he was around in 86. Stephen, you experienced 86, you experienced 97. No, I won't ask you what happened in between, because it's a long 11 years. But how was the atmosphere like in both dressing rooms after that final? I mean, you come off a three in a row, you're part of that wonderful team in 86, where you think you're going to win again in 87 and maybe in 88 and continue. And then you're on the 97 team who've been starved, I suppose, of success, an awful lot of fine footballers coming through Kerry, but never been able to put it together, sustained enough. Maybe a very good Cork team as well on the other side kept us down as well. How was that like?
Yeah, it was kind of extraordinary, in the sense that for a couple of league campaigns before, or the league campaign before in 86, I think 86, 87, could have been 85, a bit of it as well, I played in those league campaigns. The great thing about that was that you were playing, I suppose, at that stage with some of the greatest players that had ever played the game. So it was an enormously positive experience. You know, did I think that would be... By the way, just in case, because it's different now, what actually happened in 86 was that in the first round, Donald, Tommy Doyle and Mick Spillane got injured, and it was against Tipperary. And that time, Kerry only had to play four games to win in Ireland, very unlike what it is in the modern game. So John Higgins, I think, went in for Mick Spillane, and then Tommy got injured, and I went in for Tommy at wing-back. So that time, there was six players, and it had to be based on the time that you had on the pitch. So that's how I ended up. I played the first game in 86, and Mick Galway actually was in the panel with me as well, because we were minors at under 21 together, and Mick came on the semi-final. I remember Bomber went off in the last 10 minutes against Meath. But it was two very different experiences, I suppose, in that in 86 Paddy obviously was playing, you know, God rest him, and in 86 people might remember this, or the younger generation wouldn't remember this, but kind of people were writing Kerry off at that stage in 86, you know, that it was the last of the three in a row. And you know, it was a fantastic performance against Meath in the semi-final, where Meath were the coming team that got Kerry to the final. And then obviously there was Tyrone, and Tyrone led that game by 7 or 8 points, and then Mikey Sheehy got a tremendous goal in the second half. I remember Powery was involved in it, and a couple of others, and that kind of swung the game back in Kerry's favour, and they went on to win it by 6 or 7 after that. So it was a final that looked like it was gone midway through the second half, or early in the second half. And I think Tyrone might have got a point, Kevin McCabe might have got a point from a penalty or something like that, and that was another bit of a lifeline. And then Mikey's goal, and then the whole game changed, and it was fantastic. And obviously you have the memory of Mick O'Dwyer inside in the dressing room. I was very fortunate that I had Mickey Dead and Ogie and Paddy and Mick O'Dwyer, and you know, being around those guys and listening to what they had to say and looking at the different coaching styles and the messaging. The one thing they all shared, there was an enormous passion for the game, and I was count myself very fortunate to have been coached by all of those. It's something I'll never forget. And then obviously moving forward to 97, it was, because I finished up the following year, Donal, I was nearly 32 at that stage, and I kind of knew I was coming towards the finish. And but what happened was there was a great, Billy was amongst them, there was a great bunch of young players coming through. Morris had been there since 88, he was there all the way along, and there was other guys like Sean Burke and myself and others that were around for a little bit longer, but they knew the likes of Eamon Breen and Liam Flaherty and Seamus and Declan. You know, you had the Hassets, Dara Kaneda, Donald Daly, you know, fantastic players coming through that had won All-Irelands at under 21, and they made a huge difference to the mindset in the squad, because they didn't know anything about defeat, and they weren't carrying the legacy of 11 years not winning. They were just going out to try and do something for themselves. So it was a different type of an experience, because we were really dealing with a younger group of players, whereas I suppose in 86 that was a very mature squad of players. Equally celebrated as much, because I suppose the 86 squad probably knew that their time was coming to a finish as well. But it was fantastic that they were able to win 4 and 3 in a row, and then for us, like, it was magical. I can only speak for myself, I suppose. You know, Billy's originally from Listowel, and I can remember when we won matches that year, it was absolutely and by God we celebrated, you know, because it was a famine, really. Like, 11 years in Kerry football is, Jesus, is like 80 in any other county, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. No, the man that I suppose he gets applauded for it, and of course you mentioned the word very passionate, of course, it is Paddy O'Shea, and we have audio here of Paddy O'Shea, and the first question I was kind of asked about Paddy: when did he know in 97 that we were going to win?
What moment, what hour, what weekend did you guys say, we now have the personnel to make the package that can get the Sam Maguire Cup?
Well, that's a very interesting question, and I'll tell you, there was a moment when I said, and when I knew that Kerry were going to give a good account of themselves in the Championship, and we played Clare in the McGrath Cup on the Sunday of Easter Sunday, I think it was, and Clare beat us. And a fortnight later we were down to play Down in the quarter final of the league, and we took the team to Dublin on the following Saturday to play Dublin in Parnell Park in a friendly game, and it all came right on the day, and we didn't look back after that. We lost no game after that. We won every game, including championships. To the players, that, you know, any defender going out on the field, his ambition should be to keep his man scoreless. Any forward going out in the field, his ambition should be to get scores on the board. But in order for forwards to get scores on the board, it's important that they realise that they have a cushion behind them of a good defensive player. And we had that, you know, and I think that stood to us.
Remind me of that interview you said you heard me doing.
Oh, yes. You gave an interview, I think, to the launch of your videotape of the 101 greatest scores. And you said the team that will beat Cavan will win the All-Ireland. And you were very, very taken away by Cavan. You thought that they were a very, very well prepared team. They had a very, very good manager. And I took all that on board, and I said, well, now we'll just have to work a little bit harder. Maybe you got me going, maybe.
You can play close passing with the best of them, but you varied with the long ball game. So it's an overall.
Yeah, we did, Jimmy. We had an advantage in playing the long ball, because we had a very strong physical presence in our forward line. You know, for a good part of the year, we had Brian Clark, who was a good target man, Morris and Dara Kaneda, and they were all very, very good over their heads catching the ball. You know, and then on the half forward line there, Dennis Dwyer, Pal Aid, and Liam Hassett, they were great workers. They, you know, they tackled back. They came down to their own defence and they hassled and tackled. And that was great. An awful lot of the players were under an amount of pressure from the Kerry team of the 70s. And it was important for them to win in All-Ireland. And there were, I had told them that one thing that they weren't going to take into this year's All-Ireland, they weren't going to take the burden of the 12 years or the 11 years that Kerry were out in All-Ireland. That's what they were going to take into the All-Ireland final, was what they put into themselves personally, and that they were going to leave their own mark on the game. That was very essential. They responded.
Any worry? A little worry?
Of course there was worry. Of course there was worry. Because Mayo hadn't played up to then. And if you're, apart from the penalty, they then went on and they kicked two very good points in succession. And You know, Morris kicked a very, very difficult score after that, and it was only then that we, you know, I knew after Morris scoring that very difficult free that we were going to.
When somebody asked you to compare playing with managing a winning team, can you remember what you said?
I think I said that, well, when you're 44 years of age and you're 2 stone overweight, isn't bad either, managing a team.
There you go, when you're 44 years old and 2 stone overweight, I won't ask you, Stephen. We will bounce back over to Billy. Billy, what was Paddy O'Shea like in the dressing room? I mean, a whole generation of people have seen Paddy, I suppose, with that Westmead video with the boys around and no man is going to push a Westmead lad around. What was he like? Up real in I suppose in real life in a dressing room situation.
Yeah, you refer to the programme Marooned that focused on his time with Westmead, and it was spine tingling to watch it because it brought back so many memories of what he was actually like inside in the dressing room. Now let's go back to the start when Paddy took over in 95. He was very naive. He wanted to be one of the lads. You know, he was telling jokes at a couple of training sessions and he was a bit giddy, and you kind of said to yourself, what's going on here now with this fella, you know, because he wanted to mingle. He wanted to be the nice guy, you know, and that's the way he started off. And we went on a bit of a run and things were going pretty well. But then when championship came, there was a different level and he needed to push the boat out there. And as infectious as his enthusiasm was, it wasn't until 97 that you saw the real Paddy O'Shea. Because he got off to a great start and he thought he was on a bit of a winner here, but we were brought down, back down to earth fairly lively by Mayo in the All-Ireland semi-final. On the following league campaign then, there was a different Paddy O'Shea. He really, really got into it. I think the first year he got his grace period, but he was certainly infectious inside in the dressing room, no doubt. But in 97, he was a different character altogether. I mean, he had fellas bursting at the seams to try and get out playing that green and gold jersey. And he instilled that belief in the green and gold inside. Now, everybody wanted to play for Kerry, but he brought it to a different level. And when I saw that thing, that programme, that documentary about Maroon, that it brought back so many heartwarming memories, because the man loved football. The man adored Kerry. And if you listen to the clip there, he alludes to it himself. He could easily have said, I'm Paddy O'Shea, I won 8 All-Ireland medals, good luck. Nah, he wanted to bring more to Kerry football. He wanted to give back what he got, you know, what he got out of playing for Kerry. He wanted to give that back to the younger generation, and he gave it back in bucket loads. And it was unfortunate the way things finished up for him in management with Kerry, but that's a different issue. But from my experience, and I'm sure Stephen will testify to this, and Aoife will as well, that the camaraderie that he developed in the dressing room, the spirit, the enthusiasm and the willingness to win, you know, he brought all that into one package, and he made it a bit of fun as well. I mean, I know everyone says you train hard and, you know, and it's a lot of commitment required. Absolutely. But Paddy made it a bit of fun too. And you need that balance as well. There's no point in being totally wrapped up in football and it's this and it's football only, whatever. You need a bit of a release. You need time to kind of say, right, there's more to life than football. And if I focus on something else for a while, I'll have keep my energy levels high for the footballing side of things. And Paddy was very good at that, crack. To be fair to him, no, he was very good at it. But wonderful character. I mean, outside of football, 10 minutes of Paddy O'Shea would be a lifetime with somebody else. Yeah. You know, he was just infectious, storytelling, crack. Didn't matter who you were or where you were from, he was always willing to say hello to you and have a bit of crack with you. He's a wonderful guy.
Absolutely. Now, listen, get your calls into us there, 0667123666, or also text us there on 086-300-3300. Donal, please send my congratulations to these great players. I grew up in the mid-80s with little enough to shout about. I remember the All-Ireland semi-final of 96, leaving Croke Park devastated when my late father said we would be back. A year later, I was back watching them in the All-Ireland, but sadly, my father died in the meantime. But Talks 97 always bring back fond memories for our family. Stephen, leaving Croke Park in 96, how devastated. I mean, we had won Munster. It looked like we had got over that big hill of Cork, and I remember stories of, you know, God, we're straight in the final and it's only Mayo and the whole lot. Were the team ready for the semi-final, or was it just one of those days that you turned up and you were just beaten by a better team?
Yeah, I think what happened, Donald, was that we weren't having much luck against Cork in the 90s, and Cork were quite dominant, you know, from that team that won the 2 All-Ireland. So the big thing for us, if I remember, Billy, was, you remember this, Aoife, as well, was the win over Cork in 96 was massive for us, because we hadn't got out of Munster for, I think, 3 or 4 years, and so that was a huge thing. And I remember, actually, we went back to Pio's I think we were back there for we were back there one day anyway. We were back there 2 days. We were a few days back there. And we kind of celebrated maybe a little bit too much, but it was. But look, we kind of needed to do that as well because that was a huge milestone. And maybe it's a bit unfair to say we took our eye off the ball, and maybe we did. Okay, and I wouldn't hold party responsible for that. I think there was a collective piece in that. There was just huge relief in it. And I'd say that year our focus was kind of trying to get out of Munster. Mm-hmm. And suddenly we found ourselves in a position that, yes, party would have given us huge relief, along with Seamus and Jack and Bernie and Tom Connor. It was a great management team as well. And I think maybe it was the following year before we learned from coming out of Munster. And certainly, you know, when we won the following year, there was an awful lot more focus in terms of trying to take that. So we took it game by game, but we were devastated. I remember we were really devastated, but there was also a bit of relief, I suppose, in that at least we'd won a Munster championship. That might sound crazy now, mm-hmm. because no disrespect to the other teams in Munster, but it's, you do it a little bit more regularly. So but I do think we learned from that experience in 96. But I mentioned earlier, you know, some fellas that I forgot to mention, Donald, when I think back on just how young that team was, like you're I was only looking at Aoife for the pictures the other night, like if you saw some of the pictures of Darragh Shea, like he was literally like a 15-year-old in how youthfully, you know, I'm not saying Darragh doesn't look old now, but it was unbelievable. Like he played midfield that year and had a great year. You had Barry O'Shea, Killian, Brian Clark, Mike Frank, Dennis Dwyer, Seamus, you know, John Crowley, Willem, Donald Daly, like Jesus, like they were only all kids, you know, and they all came through along with some of the more experienced fellas. So it was a learning experience for us coming out of 96 going into 97.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, you did learn, that's the most important thing. The older team in 97 are often unfairly overlooked as not having achieved as much as other teams, but I think they achieved a lot more by creating a legacy for other teams to follow. It was a tough time not winning in that 10-year period, but getting over the line inspired a new generation of players that went on to win more. That is their legacy. And maybe, Stephen, you're probably right there, because you had an awful lot of young players that you just outlined that they had won, they knew how to win, I suppose, and I suppose a lot of the other players got him there. Quick one on Paddy for you, Stephen. You had played with him as well. How was he able to manage a player or you know, you were good old buddies, I presume, in the 86 team. It's a hard job, I'd imagine, that you go into a dressing room and all of a sudden you're managing players that you might have taken your place maybe somewhere along the way as well. So how does that work?
Well, I'll tell you a story now. A lot of people wouldn't know this, but what happened in, Billy would remember this, in Aoife, in the Munster final in 97, I'd been out for most of the year with a thing called myositis, which, anyway, we won't get into it, but anyway, it was just a really bad injury I got from a league game in October, and I was actually out of the game completely for 3 or 4 months, and I kind of came back then in 97 because I wasn't involved in any of the league, and I thought I was right for the Munster final, I didn't get in, that's fine, but what happened then was about 10 of us got food poisoning out of a load of sandwiches that we had.
That's right.
The hotel will remain nameless because they'll go out of business again if it was known, but it was above in Limerick, I'll say no more than that. I got the worst of it. I ended up inside in the hospital for about 5 or 6 days, and I wasn't in great shape. And I rang Paddy. I spoke to Bernie first of all, God rest him, and I said, look, Bernie, I kind of knew it. That's, I had a really good sense from, I suppose, my own experience watching the lads coming through. I really did feel this was going to be a breakthrough year without knowing it for definite. But I kind of felt, look, maybe it isn't for me, maybe it's not going to happen. And so I rang Paddy and I said, look, I want to call back to you. So I went back anyway. I said, look, I want to back it. I said, look, I'm convinced you're going to win, but I said, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to make it. And I remember he brought me back to Vintry Beach and he said, come on, he said, we'll go for a walk. He said, you're not right. Your head isn't right yet from that old sickness you got above after us, those sandwiches. And we spoke for about an hour and a half, and I just said, fine, look, I'll give it a go. And anyway, look, as it turns out, you know, between us, it worked out to be a great decision. Put the head down and went at it again, and I got in for the semi-final and final, and that was it. But to answer your question, Donald, he was a fantastic band manager. And, you know, one of the things that Maura got, you know, Maura would often have said, this Paddy's wife, what a lot of people don't realise about Paddy is Paddy was innately very shy, you know, and you have this public persona and figure where people think he was gregarious and so forth, but in person and in private, he was a fantastic fellow to talk to. He had a great sense of understanding of human behaviour. He had fantastic empathy. You know, people that might be listed in wouldn't realise one of the lovely things that Paddy Shea did throughout the course of his life is he sent written personal notes to people that had an impact on him, and you could fill a program with the number of letters. That's what parties we have, which is a really personal thing to do. Mm-hmm. It is easy to pick up the phone or say thanks or whatever. countless people will tell you. Yeah. He wrote to them, thanked them. You'll never hear about it.
It was that old school traditional
old school. That was his way. And that was, like, if you want to know how empathetic he was, that'll give you an idea how much he cared about people. But a brilliant man manager.
Absolutely. Well, look, we're going to take a break. Stay with us, the three of you. I will back to you as well, Aoife, plenty of stories for you to tell us. Get your call in 066-712-3666. You can text us as well on 083-300-3300. And we're live here tonight in Billy O'Shea's sun-drenched bar. Does the sun come all the time, Billy?
Yeah, every time. Though.
28 degrees heat guaranteed.
24-7, 365 days of the year.
There you go. Well, we have a couple of seats left. You can get down here quickly to fill them up. We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, live from O'Shea's Bar Killoglan to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the 97 All-Ireland winning team. O'Shea's Bar Killoglan, the next best place to croker to watch the big game.
And you're back here to us in Billy O'Shea's Bar, live in Killoglan. Call us 066-712-3666, and you also text us on WhatsApp on 083-300-3300. A couple more coming in. Don Liam Flaherty should have been player of the match that day. He stopped Mayo time and again. I love that halfback line of Breen Fla and a young fella called Seamus Minan, who went on to become the greatest ever. I was so delighted to see him captain Kerry some years later. Absolutely. A lot of people are delighted to see Seamus Minan captain Kerry a few years later. Stephen Sack has two medals. There you go, Stephen. And it's, I don't know if it's for your brother, your mother, or for something across the road community, but he's definitely confirming it anyway. So you have two medals, Stephen. I apologise for taking one off you there earlier. Donal, I remember the homecoming to Tralee very well. We went with my mum and dad, and we were told that if we got lost, that we would meet up outside the Munster Warehouse when it was over. Oh, the good old Munster Warehouse. We got lost anyway, and afterwards headed back to the Munster Warehouse, where we met up with our mother and aunt. We had to wait for another hour for our father to arrive back with some of the players. My mother's anger gave way when we took the photograph of with an actual old camera. However, when we went to develop the photo a few weeks later, it never came out. My father's reply was, "Don't worry, she'll be back again next year." He was fairly optimistic. Aoife, one of the big jobs is keeping players fit on the field, and I suppose 25 later today, they have technology, they have everything. I won't say the old days, but I mean 25 years ago is get the player fit, ready, out the whole lot. But in the build up to games, normally Jack would say such a guy has a niggle, which means that he might be out, and Peter Kane used to say he had a knock, so you couldn't really decipher whether he was in or out, and some fellas were, you know, they were struggling or whatever. How did you manage to get some of the players back? And I suppose on the build up to the final, the whole county was worried about Maurice Fitzgerald. I suppose you were probably the only person that really knew what was happening, were you?
Yeah, I suppose.
You and Maurice, I suppose.
Yeah, well, actually, Maurice was flying fit maybe the few weeks before the game, like there was no issue. But then, actually, and Stephen knows this now because I told him during the week, but probably the best kept secret in the country at the time was that Maurice injured himself on the Thursday night before the game. So the Saturday evening, I remember Maurice came up for physio and he couldn't kick with one of the legs. I can't remember, was it the right or the left quad at this stage, but he had an injury to one of his quads. So I, myself and Dave Ganey had a bit of a chat about it, and we decided, you know, at this 11th hour, there was no point in worrying anybody else about it, that we would just keep it QT. We didn't even say it to Paddy at the time. And we you know, I worked hard with Maurice that evening and the following morning, and we went into the game. The only two other people who actually knew about it was one was Dara Kinnear, because we had tipped Dara off in case Maurice couldn't take the freeze on the day.
You could trust Dara, like.
It was more that he was an alternative free taker.
Oh, right, okay.
So if Maurice couldn't kick, yes, if he couldn't take the freeze, that he would be there to take the freeze. And I think Brian Clark just happened to be there, probably on the physio bench, was he within earshot. But
there'll be no Brian Clark jokes now. He's my postman. He delivers every morning to me.
I know, but again, Brian, and to be fair, nobody said a word. We all went into the game, and I remember that night. I didn't get a whole pile of sleep now the night before the All Ireland, worrying about it. But I remember praying that the first free would be close into goal, that he wouldn't have to take a big free from very far out the pitch. And if you remember, if you go back and look at that All-Ireland, the first kick that he took in terms of free-taking was in close to goal. And I remember breathing a sigh of relief and saying, you know, we're, you know, he'll be fine from here. But I'll tell you another funny story, actually. My key worry then was half-time, because 15 minutes at half-time, you know, the muscle can get cold and it can seize up a bit and you could be in trouble in the second half. So I actually had the reusable ice pack, hot packs, you know, so I had my plan to heat it up, to put a hot pack on it during the 50 minutes. So I had two hot packs, and but back then there was no water heater, there was nothing in the dressing room to actually heat a hot pack. But I was going in at half time and I saw the caretaker's room had a kettle in it. So I actually took the kettle and brought it into the dressing room, to put my hot pack into it. Put the first one in, took it out, grand, put the second one in, took it out, but it burst. Awesome. It had actually burst in the kettle, and I got given out to by the caretakers for ruining their cup of tea. I didn't care because the quads lasted for the second half.
So, Billy, we can officially put it on record that had she not fixed Maurice Fitzgerald, your leg wouldn't be broken and you could have went on to win man the match.
You
or
could
something.
See me biting my lip over here in the
absolutely.
Thanks very much, Ethan.
It's all coming out tonight. Billy, the league win in 97. Mm-hmm. We have Derek Kinnaird after 7 o'clock in Ricorum this morning, and he speaks vividly about winning that league. It was like, it was tangible, it was worth winning. He said we celebrated a whole lot. What belief did that put in you that, you know, I suppose 96 you won Munster, you slipped against Mayo, mm-hmm. you were back again at the national pile at the league level. What did that instill in you?
Well, certainly a good level of confidence, having had a good league run, and to beat Cork in the final in Cork as well. I think, you know, when you put all those things together, it certainly kind of pushed the lads on into the belief that, yeah, we're certainly going in the right direction. I mentioned earlier about Paddy being a bit more experienced the following year in 97 than he was in 96. And I think that, you know, after that league win, he kind of left us enjoy it for the day. And actually, I remember that day after the league final, we all got together. And there was a good sense of bonding amongst everybody. And I just said to myself, you know, there's a good bond amongst these bunch of lads. That never was the case in any of the teams prior to, we'll say, the 96 team. From when I was in 91. And from 91 to 96, I didn't get that sense of bonding and camaraderie as I got from after that league win in 97. Certainly 96 was good crack and all that kind of jazz. But 97 was different. I think Paddy, whatever way he was going about his business with us, he was gelling us without us knowing it, if that makes sense. He was able to get us to stick together, do our thing together, but then train hard together as well. And when you factor all that in, you know, I'd put it down to the fact that he was able to kind of overlook all of that aspect of it. A great man manager. You know, he really, really was. But the players bought into it. And after that league win, and the fact that it was Cork below and Cork, I think, gave us that little bit of a push as well to say, right, we're definitely going in the right direction here. And when we got into championship, like, when you go back to that 97 championship, you might say, right, there was a good bond after that league win. Our first game was against Tipperary inside in Tralee. Only for Dennis Dwyer, we were gone. Dennis, if you recall, got a goal, I think, with a few minutes to go. And Tipperary were in that game, and there was a young Brendan Cummins playing for Tipperary that day who came off the bench and kicked 7 points from frees. You know, so we were very, very lucky inside in Tralee. It was a sweltering day, and only for Dennis's goal, like, we were going to be in serious trouble that day. After that, then, we kind of refocused again and said, look, we got our bad game out of the way at least. Anyway, and as Stephen referred to earlier, it was only four games in the championship then. That was your semi-final. You went to your Munster final then. Once you got that bad game out of the way, then you can say, right, we can start hit the ground running then. And that's the way it just transpired then after that. But, like, definitely that league campaign certainly was the springboard for what happened in the 97 championship.
I suppose, Stephen, momentum is huge in any sport. You need to have a game and play a game. But the way the championship was set up, I mean, there was one year in the mid-90s you played one game and you lost to Cork and your championship was over. There's another year where you probably won the semi-final, lost the Munster final, it was over. You never really got a whole time together or run together, unlike the teams today and the players today. I mean, their season goes on. I know it's split and it's 6 months, but I mean, their season just seems to run in. Players that time didn't get the same extent of time on the field and the bonding, so it was much more difficult.
Way more difficult, and you're right. It's you know, I think the modern structure is probably much better. It probably is more demanding on players, but that time, like, you know, it was knockout. It's as simple as that. If you were beaten, you were gone. it was a long way back, and a long, it could be 12 months before you're back in that position again. So that's why, even, you know, looking beyond Kerry, you know, the Tarleton Cup and what they've done with some of the you know, the less strong counties, I think is a fantastic development by the GAA. Gives teams an awful lot more games, gives them a sense of purpose about the competitions they're playing in, but it is more demanding on the modern players, I suppose. That's the other thing. But look, the split season, I think, is a good thing as well for inter-county players, because it draws a line on the inter-county season and it gives the clubs a chance as well. But it is more demanding, no question about that. Yeah. But that time, if you were beaten, you were gone, that was it.
Yeah. Stephen, the homecoming, you know, it's amazing. I suppose we kind of take it for granted, even we're in the throes of an All-Ireland final now. And you know, I drove all the way from Killarney over here. I'm not giving out or anything, but I mean, there isn't as many flags as there normally is, and there isn't as many posters, and the build-up, I suppose, maybe it is tighter or more condensed. But 97 was the first time I can personally remember it going from kind of black and white to colour. I mean, we were buying jerseys. I mean, Kerry people didn't buy jerseys, you know. I mean, we certainly didn't wear them in Croke Park. You know, we were a little bit more pushed about things, and you know, we appreciated everybody, and they were all great footballers, and we didn't shout either way, or we clapped for a goal or whatever it was. But in 96 and 97, it kind of grew out of a need to win. And I remember at the time RT coming down and gathering crowds and kids and jerseys, and it was on. Did you get that sense of that on the build up all the way through? And then I suppose it hits then when you have Sam Maguire and you go down Dinny Street, and my God, everything was green and gold.
Yeah, I think the reason for that is that there was a whole generation of young people. If you take that 11 year gap, that hadn't seen Kerry win in All-Ireland. And you are right, actually, it's the first time that I can remember. My earliest memory is going back before you, Donald. I can remember 1975, 76, if you're all too young to remember, too old to remember, I should say, when they had the old hats, you know, with the paper bit in the front, and if the dye ran on the green and gold to destroy your face. So that's what I can remember. So, yeah, there was bunting and flags and all that came into 97, which was fantastic. But the first time that I remember that being really significant was the Cavan game in the semi-final, where, remember, Billy, it was like a cauldron, and the noise that day was absolutely phenomenal. And that's when, you know, I think the Kerry support was brilliant all that year, but in that one, because you had such huge interest from Cavan as well. The interesting thing, they're not coming down, Billy, if you remember, we flew down. Yeah, because Billy, you were with us. Do you remember? You made the plane.
Yeah, I did. I made the plane.
So we came down, and
the wheelchair. I don't think got the pass all the way up to the front.
I'll tell you how I got onto that plane, because they found that there was a little hole in the front where I could put my leg into the hole. And then Dave Gainey sat beside me on the way down, so I was able to make it down the flight, because they weren't sure would I get on the plane or not.
Yeah,
true story.
But but it was the homecoming. It was out of this world. I mean, it was a bit of a haze, really, isn't it?
It went on for a full 2 weeks, I'd say. Like, but as Stephen alluded to there, like, it's the fact that there was a full generation of young people that hadn't seen a Kerry victory, and they embraced that victory wholeheartedly. And everywhere you went, I mean, you were treated like a demigod for 2 weeks anyway. And it was a wonderful time. It really was a wonderful time.
You played County Championship the week after.
Well, I didn't.
Touché.
We played West Kerry actually in the semi-final the following week. That's right. Yeah. No, I didn't. I remember getting a standing ovation, all right, for hobbling onto the field from all the supporters. It was a wonderful time. But no, there was County Championship. But I'd say a lot of lads were running on rocket fuel, if I recall, in that particular match, because there was a few West Kerry lads involved in it as well who were on the Kerry panel.
We'll talk to some of them. Listen, we'll talk to us our Kerry guy after the break. Stay with us, guys. Call us there on 0667123666. Text us, of course, on 083 300 3300, and we'll be talking, hopefully, fingers crossed, to a Sneeman who's on that team as well after the break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, live from O'Shea's Bar Killoglan, to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the 97 All-Ireland winning team. O'Shea's Bar Killoglan, the next best place to Croker to watch the big game.
Now you're listening to Terrace Talk live here in Billy O'Shea's Bar in Killoglan. Still, well, I don't know what the weather is kind of changing, guys, is it? It's kind of, yeah, there's, Billy, you promised us 28 degrees, it's only about 19 now. I mean, that's only in 6 or 7
minutes.
We're
just taking a light sauce.
Light sauce, yes. Well, of course, we'll have talk sauce on at 8 o'clock, so we listen there. A guy who knows a bit of talk sauce, and I suppose he's always on a bit of a break. Killian Burns, you join us this evening. Good evening to you.
Good evening. How are you doing?
As one South Kerry man to another, I know your people, so be nice to me.
I will, of course.
Fair play to you. Killian,
I have a 1-year-old here as well that I'm looking after. I was a bit slow after Mars from my former colleagues, probably your grandfather's at the stage, but anyways, hopefully he'll be quite free.
Yeah. Well, you were slow enough off the mark around Conor Beck sometimes as well down there for Sneem, so surely you'll mark a 1 year old for a while anyway.
I was listening to Billy there talking, or someone mentioned County Championship actually. Of course, I was hearing the Irish soldiers, and I woke up on the Saturday after the All Ireland in Listowel, Billy's dad's house, and I was going, oh, sugar. I have a South Kerry Championship match against Waterville, in Waterville, and I'm in Listowel. And I had to be there for about half two. So I went into Billy's bedroom, and there he was, laid up with a full plaster of Paris on him, the whole works. And I said, Billy, is there any chance you drop me down? And fair play to him. I
don't tell that now.
With a plaster of Paris, I don't know how he managed to drive, but he took me all the way to Waterville. And I arrived there just in time for the second half. So I'm not proud of it, but we won the game.
Well, I know Aoife was a good physio, but I fair play to her for getting Billy ready to drive a car.
I completely forgot about that drive. Yeah, that's actually a true story. He's not making that one up at all, no.
Killian, you can't end the story that way. Did you beat Waterville?
We did.
There we go. And yourselves and Waterford are still fighting each other below in Division 5 at the moment as well.
We won the South Kerry Championship last year, so we did.
Yeah. Do you remember who you beat?
Do you know what? My memories of football are very, very bad in many, many respects. You're talking about national leagues, and I was trying to rack my brains. I was saying, who do we play in the National League in 1997? That's how sometimes I'm that bad, but when I look back in 97, I just think of different types of memories, and they're very vivid for me. But the details are a bit sketchy.
That's hard. Well, look, I'll give you a two marker to get off it. What was like the occasion in Croke Park on All Ireland Day? I mean, shaking hands with Mary Robinson and all that kind of crack. What was that like all of a sudden from probably being knocked out of the odd South Kerry game?
I suppose, I mean, younger or old, those types of occasions definitely were very, very nervous, you know. You had Paddy and a couple of people who had experienced it, and Stacky was very reassuring. I remember it was touch, you know, it was touch and go between me and Mike Castle, because I'd got injured for the Cavan game. That's a whole other story, but it went wrong and ended up in hospital about on the Tuesday before the Cavan match. That kind of put the kibosh on that. So I was trying to get back into the team. I remember Saki was saying, go for it now on the Tuesday night before the training. He says, you have a great chance now of getting it. And I remember I was marking Mike Frank Russell, and I went for it and did well and got the call that night back home and sleep with my mother, God rest her, and got the call up for Paddy. But having Paddy there, having Staffy there, people had a bit of experience in All Ireland final, which is a little bit on level. But I have to say, the first 10 or so minutes was all about just trying to get your breath. It was that type of thing. Mm-hmm. You are just the whole occasion, you know. But in general, I embrace the whole thing in general.
Absolutely, and of course you grabbed the All Ireland medal as well. You made a big show of yourself. People said on the Sunday game that evening, were you singing songs or telling stories or
squeeze box?
The squeeze box. Well, what I did, so one of the lads in the Sunday game was kind of about halfway through it. Of course, I remember, first of all, I made a disgrace to myself and Dara Shade. And look, there's an interview since then, but the two of us were interviewed, and of course the two of us were a little bit skew-eyed, you know, at that point, you know, a bit giddy, two young lads after winning an All-Ireland, and then, of course, full of confidence and everything. My mother and father were there sitting on the table and everything else, and one of the floor managers says to me, I heard you play the box. Is there any chance we'd get... Do you know of anyone that has a box or anything? And actually, my auntie Norlene O'Dwyer, I'm half Cork, by the way, from the Bear Peninsula, from Ardgroom, and she lived up in 10 Leeson Street, which was literally a stone throws up from the hotel. And she had a box, apparently. So we had her number. We called her. The floor manager went down to collect it, and he delivered it to me. But he said the high D note is stuck. So of course, you know, you need ID if you want to play a few poker kids. But I said, "Ah, that's fine." And my mother was in earshot, and she goes, "Oh Jesus!" Because she was a musician herself, and she was always kind of worried about me because I'd be flying with the music and full of confidence if I only half knew a tune. And I said, "That's no bother at all." I went for it anyway. We got the crowd going. That's the main thing.
Well, yeah, once you have the crowd on your side, Killian, life is easy. Come here to me, the celebrations, of course, I mean, we all talk about coming to Tralee and Killarney and the whole lot, but they came to South Kerry as well. Of course, there was yourself and Morris, and Dennis was there as well. Did they go to Sneem? Did Sam come to Sneem?
Well, I'll tell you a good one about Sam, right? So Tony O'Keefe, the secretary at the time, was married to Margaret O'Sullivan from Sneem. And I'd say it was the morning after the All-Ireland, I said to Tony, I want to book in Sam Maguire for Stephen's Day. And he was true to his word. I managed to get it. I think I collected from Seamus Moynan on the Stephen's morning, so the Stephen's morning after that 97 win, and got it to Sneem, and we did the whole parish, and we went out as far as the Black Shop to the Galvins out there, great supporters of Kerry football, and went back, did all the pubs, and ended up in Rhynie's. And everything was going fine in Rhynie's anyway. It was about 1:30 in the morning. Next thing, word went round that there was no sign of Sam Maguire. So we were, a lot of people worried. I wasn't too worried about the whole thing. I went to bed anyway. And I woke up the following morning anyway. And I got my mother woke me up, and she said, Jack was up there, Jack, Johnny Sullivan, who was secretary of the Sneem J Club at the time. And apparently he had gone up over the bridge anyway to the North Square. I won't say what direction it went. We kind of maybe have an inkling as to what direction it went anyway. But there was a bit of tomfoolery going on. And the guards were called, and the guards were involved that night. And whatever knock they gave to some certain door anyway, about 7:00 the following morning, a knock came to the door of Johnny O'Sullivan. He went down the stairs, opened the door. There was no one there, but he looked down, and there was Sam Maguire at 7:00 the following morning. So it was returned safely. It was returned safely before I even woke up.
Fair play. And they knew where to bring it as well, to the secretary of the GA Club rather than anywhere else. Killian, we could talk all night. One final abiding memory. I mean, people have been ringing in. 97 was special. I suppose a lot of people are saying it was just the one All Ireland draw. But I mean, after I suppose a famine of 11 years. But you were winning away. You were on some of those under 21 teams, were you? His fingers are crossed here, obviously.
Yeah, I was in 95. Yeah, we were. We had wins in 95 and 96 with Paddy at under 21 level. So we were full of confidence as young lads, and it was always great old skelting going on. It was like a 50-50 team. There was about eight of us from the under 21 set up, and then the older lads and a couple in between, you know, which made up the full team. So we, as Stephen said earlier, we definitely came in with an awful lot of confidence and a winning mentality, you know, and I think that kind of stood to us, and I suppose that brought that freshness in for the lads. And I don't know, just some things just happened for a reason, you know. It was a long, long journey getting there, 11 years, a lot, like, it didn't really, the meaning didn't come into it, I think, until after the win, and for several months after, and for, you know, going to New York for a 5-day trip with the 1947 team. And I think the meaning and what it meant to people didn't really come into it until that point for us as young lads. You know, for us it was sort of, this is the way it's supposed to be, you know. But for, of course, looking back now, isn't it an amazing thing that, I mean, it's one of the greatest things that I cherish in my life, obviously, and now bringing it back 25 years on, it's hard to believe. Time has passed so much. I got a recording from a friend of mine, RT, of the Micheál Ó Murthy audio, which I'd never heard, of course. I haven't even watched the match in full. It's strange how life kind of passes you by, you know, but it's great that we can mark it together now, and there's a lot of giddiness, I think, with lads meeting up now for the first time in many years. It was an amazing bond that happened, and it continued into 98, 99, and some of the lads, you know, into 2000 when we won again. And they're great years, a great bond, different times. I think we got away with an awful lot then that they'll never get away with today, you know, when it comes to preparation and just the crack. And it's no hard, it's no fault. One thing isn't right and the other thing isn't wrong, but certainly things were a bit easier that time, and you know, there wasn't so many rules and regulations, and I think we all knocked a bit of crack out of it, which essentially is what football is all about too. It's about winning, you know.
Has that 1-year-old scored a point or two on you yet?
Pardon?
Has that 1 year old scored a point or two on you yet?
He's got a great great net leg, haven't you, Bart? Coffee, yeah, he's making coffee for me at the moment.
Okay, Jesus, staying in Billy Shea's house 25 years ago and getting a 1 year old to make coffee for you, Killian Burns. You have a great life, Killian. Thanks for joining us this evening. That South Kerry title that you took it off St. Michael's Foyle War. I certainly remember that one. The very best of luck to you, guys. Hi guys, in that 97, is it true that William Kirby was getting injections in his shoulder to keep playing? Great show as always, keep the best luck to Kerry on Sunday. A truly listener, and well, would you believe it, the person that could answer that question is all of a comfortable distance away from me at the table here. Injections, William Kirby?
I know at halftime in the All-Ireland he did get an injection. So I couldn't say if he got them coming into it. I don't think so. But
you can't confirm nor deny any more on that. Come over to the stall. The green and gold flags and bunting are flying high in the town for Kerry in the final this Sunday up the Kingdom. Absolutely fair play to the stall leading the way. 97 was the year of the manure. Yellow and green bag came to be in Rathmore anyway, where they were everywhere. Absolutely. It's amazing how we recycle things fairly quickly. I remember those actually. Hi Dole, I'm enjoying listening to chatting to the men who played in the 97 final. Great memories of watching that game in the canal end and getting on the pitch afterwards. Best wishes to all in O'Shea's Bar, Charles. Stephen, about that actually, getting on the field, it's something that's gone from our game. You know, you win an All-Ireland now, you don't have that. 97 had it. I remember Seamus, he stood out in the middle of the field, maybe it was the first year, he didn't get it. They brought a stand and he was a bit awkward and he didn't know which way to turn or whatever about it. That gone away from our game. Good, bad, discuss?
Yeah, I love the fact that we were able to be part of that, because it was such a relief on a personal level. It was a huge relief because I kind of knew my time was coming to a finish, and I actually my distinct memory at the final whistle was just shock. I kind of couldn't believe we'd managed to finally get over the line, and I remember the minute the whistle blew, I kind of ran. I can't even remember in which direction. I just started jumping around the place like an idiot, and I remember my brother and Kevin Sullivan, a friend of mine, and Jerome Stack and Barry O'Halloran and other people that I knew came out onto the pitch, and it was just absolutely magic. And I remember I met Paddy very briefly afterwards, and we got a lovely picture that somebody took that Billy just reminded me of it there, and he kind of put his hand up to my face and kind of said, I kind of told you so. And it was a lovely moment, but it was brilliant. I remember, and everyone will tell you this, the magic of an All-Ireland winning day is that time straight after the final whistle and about an hour and a half, 2 hours immediately after the match, where you're in a small little bit of a cocoon inside under the stand, Billy, if you remember. It's absolutely magic, you know, and Paddy and Seamus and Jack and Tom and Johnny Kelly, God rest him, and Bernie all around us, and Aoife, Dave, you know, it was an absolutely that's a magic time. That's something you'll never ever forget. And I've often said, like, you know, when it comes to winning big trophies at whatever level you're at, if you were to ask people that kind of, let's say, money taken to All-Ireland, as you've asked the question, if you were to ask anybody subsequent to that feeling that people had, if they had put in another 50% in effort, if you could guarantee them that they'd have that feeling, pretty much everybody you'll ever talk to in sport would say, I would. I'd do another 50% or 100% if I had to. It's very hard to describe it, you know, which is why, look, we're all hoping as well that next Sunday the current Kerry players actually get to experience that. That's our wish going up, you know.
Well, we'll talk about that from 7:30 onwards. We'll keep going with 97 because the comments are flying. Kerry had a great management set up in 97. Behind Paddy was Seamus McGarrett, who was a gentleman, and then there was Jack O'Connor. And don't forget the great Tom O'Connor from Kinmare. He gave his life and soul to Jay, and a very important member of the backroom team as well. And of course, Bernie is there as well. I mean, how important is the backroom team? Very important, obviously, I'm saying it here. But really, to the whole situation, I mean, you know, that time, I suppose, Paddy was there. But the role of Seamus McGarrett was huge. He was the coach, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, I don't think that Seamus ever got the credit that he deserved outside of the group, I suppose, in the rest of the county, because within the group, Seamus McGarrett was the boss. I know we spoke about Paddy and the great charismatic character that he was, but Paddy was under the thumb of Seamus, and that's a fact. I mean, if anybody tells you anything differently, that's a lie. Because I remember Paddy giving out to me one time, and he said to me, I was captain in 96, and he said, I'm saying this to you now because he'll tell me differently if I don't tell you this right. You know, because he was always responding to what Seamus was going to be telling him to do. And Seamus's role was absolutely brilliant in 97, because in 96, when we had achieved the Munster final victory, it went to our heads. We overindulged a bit for a week, and Paddy indulged with us, but it was Seamus the following year made sure that all that type of carry on and whatnot would have been curtailed immediately after the night of the game. And he was the one that kept an eye on Paddy, and his role in that management structure was never ever given the credit that it deserved, in my opinion anyway. The rest of the management team were fabulous to deal with as well. And if you go back, I mean, nowadays the manager picks his two selectors as it is currently. Back then it was kind of geographical, and if you look at it, it was made up of Jack from South Kerry, Tom from Kinmare, Bernie from North Kerry, and you'd Paddy then from West Kerry as well. So like, you had a nice geographical balance. That used to be the way it was before, and that, I think that was down to, they actually used voting selectors before, wasn't it?
The county
as well was kind of suggested that Seamus and Paddy would be a great combination, and it actually was, to be fair. I don't think the other thing, Billy, there was enormous respect going back a long way between the two of them. So I think there was, if you were to describe it in Oriental terms, you'd say there was great yin and yang between them, which there was.
Yeah.
You know? I remember asking Seamus as well, you know, this was when he finished up in 97. He didn't stay on in 98 at all. And I remember asking him, I said, why didn't you stay on? Because I've noticed that any time you were with the minors, when you won the All-Ireland, you finished. And he had 2-3 year stints with the minors, and when he won the All-Ireland, he was gone. And when he won the All-Ireland with the seniors, with Paddy, he went as well. And he said, job done, move on.
Absolutely.
And you know, that's what happens, his attitude was.
And we have to move on. We're going to take a break, but after the break, we're going to talk to Derek Kineda, and stay with us, because we have another gentleman who never kicked a ball, but he does a lot of talk from the stall. I wonder who that is.
Yeah. There's no prizes for that one, is
there? No prizes for that one. Well, you'll get a prize if you figure it out. We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, live from O'Shea's Bar Killoglan, to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the 97 All-Ireland winning team. O'Shea's Bar Killoglan, the next best place to Croker to watch the big game.
Donald, Killian Burns is half a St. Mary's man. He's the late Mother Maura, RIP, was one of the renowned late O'Dwyer musicians from Argroom Village in Bear, County Cork. Killian's uncle, Rob Erdo, RIP, was a long hop, step and jump athlete, and played with St. Mary's and the Bear, and my late uncle John Joe Sullivan, Mort R.I.P. and Robert's brother Sean also, and that's from Dermot and Two Sis, a man who certainly knows his family connections, and fair pleasure. Hope you're enjoying the show tonight. Always remember the 97 All-Ireland meeting. John Crowley on the pitch after the game. John worked in St. Finian's Hospital for that summer. He brought the Sam McGuire to my house the following spring for a night. I have great photos of my kids, which I will cherish this day, and that's Dennis Carl from Killarney, and that's what it really is about. It's about cherishing those memories, and we have a couple of more of them coming up. Earlier today I caught up with a very important man in that team. He would have been an exceptionally important man in that team if Maurice Fitz wasn't playing, because Aoife said he would have been taking the frees. So earlier we spoke to Darrow Kineda.
Yeah, the years before we won the All-Ireland, Donald, it was a hard time to be Kerry football, because there was a huge amount of work being put in, and you're knocking on the door and the door isn't opening, I suppose, primarily because there was a decent Cork team ahead of us. Munster in 94, Stephen O'Brien got a late goal and kept our heads below water. 95 in Killarney, despite Eamon Breen getting a good goal early on, we were beaten by 3 points, and it was a kind of a good beating by 3 points. I don't think we've ever looked like winning it from early doors. 96 then we made the breakthrough finally, which was a big day down at Parky Cleveland. It gave us a huge lift, but unfortunately a couple of weeks later Mayo beat us in an All-Ireland semi-final, and all the negativity that had been there in the years before that, 93, 4, 5 and 6, started to come back at us. But fortunately, I suppose, from our point of view at those times, Kerry had won a minor and a junior All-Ireland in 94, and under 21 All-Ireland in 95, and under 21 All-Ireland after that Mayo beating in 96, and that kept us kind of young lads anyway sustained, in the sense that we realised, look, we're not far off it, we're decent footballers. And we knew, those of us that were inside with the Kerry squad in that time, that the fellas in their mid-20s that were there, there were some really good footballers. Marcus was sure to be the standout. Obviously Seamus Mynan was only a year or two older than me, and he was a great player at that stage. And you had some like Sabrine and Flaherty who had soldiered for a while. Stephen Stack had come back into the fold. So that even though we were losing big games, and even though there was a lot of negativity around the senior team, there was a wave of positivity positivity coming with the underage stuff that was coming, and you know, you were just waiting for the right man to take hold, and Paddy took hold in 96. He got his kick in the arse in 96 with that Mayo game from the senior job, like, but after that, Paddy was a man possessed from October 96 right through to that 97 game, and it just dripped down onto all the players. We trained like dogs, like any harder than any Kerry team I was ever part of, and smarter than any Kerry team that I was ever part of too, like, you know, it was a phenomenal winter's training in the small pitch outside Killarney that time.
And of course you came into 97, I suppose some people kind of tend to forget that you won the league that year, beating Cork as well. I suppose that was kind of a watershed moment.
I'll never forget coming into Tralee, and we did celebrate the league, believe it or not, you know, which they probably wouldn't know. We were very happy and proud to win the National League title that time, because it was finally a bit of silverware at senior level, you know, a proper national silverware at senior level that we didn't have. And I'll never forget it, Bill Kirby, Lord to mercy, and William's father. William was man of the match in the Sigerson final that year in 97, and a month later we won the National League final, and Bill draped a massive, massive Kerry banner down from the top window of the brogue at the top of the rock, and it said, written on the Kerry banner, was, "This could be the start of something big." And again, small things like that gave you a lift. Yeah. And then, you know, there was just a sense that the time was coming, that it was arriving, that there was a group here, and that there was a bit of momentum behind us. And there was a very public statement, obviously, by Bill, to back the team as well. You know, this could be the start of something big. And it definitely lifted us. I was living and working in Tralee at the time with Lee Strand, and I used to see it every day. And he was always giving me a kick before we ever won the All-Ireland.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, that All-Ireland was won, of course, and we have plenty of people talking about it, defeating Mayo, I suppose. It was a funny final in the sense that it's remembered possibly maybe for the scenes after it. I remember Weishi going off on a nearly 40-second soliloquy about how beautiful it was and the sight it was, and it was like looking down on a Hadow and the whole lot. But I remember the homecomings, particularly, I suppose, for the smaller clubs when they went back. What was it like for yourself? I mean, Paddy was returning. I imagine he was a legend anyway, but now he was returning as even more enhanced legend, and even he brought you with him.
Well, yeah, it was a double whammy really for us, because we had Seamus McGarrett as well in the management team, you know, and it was a party. Seamus was the ticket, even though Seamus was with the Gael at the time. He went on to coach us to win the county championship in 01 afterwards, the Gael as well. He was one of our own as well. And you had Darrow O'Shea, myself on the team, and two more to come on board years later. But it was a big thing for the club, of course, because it was the first time since Paddy's time playing that they had players in the team again, like, and you know, it was a huge, huge moment. We West Kerry were playing Lorne Rangers the week after the 97 final, so the cup didn't get back to West Kerry for a while after the George. It tended to be sent to Drum Killorglin, obviously, on the Tuesday, Tralee, Killarney and such in the early before and after Killorglin around that time. So we had to kind of pull the tail in a small bit, like, as we were playing Lorne Rangers in a county semi final, which probably wouldn't happen today. Yeah. The weekend afterwards, and that kind of, you know, focused the minds a small bit. But yeah, when it did come back west, it really obviously came into Dingle, and you know, Paddy's pub, Paddy was running the pub at the time, and it was a big deal, of course. But what I'll never forget as a player was, you know, the bus inside in Tralee turning the corner that Monday, turning the corner down from Castle Street and in towards Denny Street, and you're looking down towards the Ash Memorial Hall. It was just, even you get goosebumps thinking about it to this day, like, because I suppose, for example, Darrow O'Shea won 6 All-Ireland medals, 5 of them after 97, obviously, and to this day he would say your first one is always special, and it's the same with me, it's the same with all of us, I think, that won our first one in 97, and that can never be repeated. I think turning the corner from Castle Street into Denny Street, it was spine tingling, you know, it was phenomenal. It was our first time experiencing it, and it was a new generation as well. You know, obviously I was never part of the 80s team, like, but I'm sure they had great moments. But for us, the colour had become more vivid, the support had become more vocal, and you know, the county had been dressed up. And I remember as a kid going to matches, but I didn't remember that kind of colour that we take for granted today. Wexford had won the All-Ireland in 96, and they had brought a lot of colour and hurling to it, and I think we had something similar in 97. There was a new generation of Kerry supporters that hadn't seen Kerry win in All-Ireland, and there was a lot of pent up frustration. And I think in about 30 seconds that time, when the bus turned in to Denny Street in Tralee that night, Monday night after we won the All-Ireland, I think all that frustration of 11 years got released, and and Seamus McGarrell famously captured it on stage, I think, that night with his few words as Gaeilge. He said, "In it in the doll, the thaw, Sam Savala. At the end of the out of the drag, Sam is in the bag." Right. And that the place just erupted. You know, it was phenomenal.
Absolutely. And of course, finally, look, we finished briefly now. It was an unusual Kerry team in the sense that that one player on that team had an All-Ireland medal going into that final.
Well, Stephen Stack had won as a sub, which he cherishes to this day, and he wouldn't thank you for saying because he didn't have one. But he was very pointed about that, you know, when he won his second one. Obviously, the second one meant more, I'd say, to him. But he you know, as he won one as a young fella, as a young buck, and he didn't maybe treasure it as much as he should, but he had waited for those 10 years. But as you say, not one of the rest of us had a medal, and I think we were a team of bachelors now. Maybe Morris was married. I don't remember now, but we were very, very young, very naive. And, you know, it was just a different world opening up towards us. But I suppose for us, for the group that myself and Dara Shea came through with, I suppose, fellas that, you know, would be 47, 48 years of age, you know, we had won the under 21s in 95, 96. And, you know, winning the senior ones was just a final stamp, because we hadn't even won a Munster minor title, and that hurt. Do you know, we had given 2 or 3 years, some of us, trying to win a minor title in Munster, and we knew from our time in college and stuff that Kerry footballers weren't an inferior product. And I think the 97 final just franked that belief, like, and said, listen, we've arrived to a certain point here now, and then onwards, obviously, what's up next straight away, like, soon enough, like after the celebrations.
Absolutely. Well, of course, what's up next now is we're going to talk to the rest of the team. Darragh, listen, thanks very much. You're doing a very important job tonight, club chairman, something very important with All Ireland in mind.
Absolutely, the usual loaves and the fishes is a great problem to have, and we're trying to kind of, I suppose, attend to every single person that helps in any way in the club, as I'm sure a club's right across Kerry. The tickets situation is never going to improve, I suppose, though, you know, we'll try and do our best for the club members and people that are active within the club, and delighted to have that headache anyway this week.
There you go, Derek Kaneda, the loaves and the fishes, and giving out the tickets. So if you haven't got your right Hogan Stand ticket, you know who to give out to back on the Gaeltacht. We'll take a break, and after that we have an awful lot more coming up.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, live from O'Shea's Bar Killoglan, to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the 97 All-Ireland winning team. O'Shea's Bar Killoglan, the next best place to croker to watch the big game.
Right, Donald, I was living in New York at the time. My brother John and I went to see the game in the Aqueduct North Bar on Catoha Avenue in Woodlawn, the Bronx. Of course, we were up very early due to the 5-hour time difference, in particular, as we lived about 40 minutes from the Bronx at the time. It was a special morning. We had tea and scones, as most Kerry people do, before going to the bar to pay our $20 entrance fee. We met lots of Kerry people and we had great seats for the game. The Aqueduct North Bar is a Kerry-owned bar owned by a great Kerry man called Mickey Minehan, who's originally from Rathmore. There's no other place to be watching a match as Kerry fans. And we're very excited for the match, and I have great memories of the win, particularly of Morris Fitz, of course. It was one of the few days that I cheered for him, given the amount of times that he broke my brother's heart when he was playing with St. Michael's Filemore. Yeah, he broke a lot of hearts down South Kerry, he did, for football anyway. Anyway, it was a very special day and a fabulous win. My brother John and I went to the Gaelic Park afterwards, where we were able to have post-match discussions with many Kerry people. That made the day even more special, Donal, was that when we knew that Kerry and Cavan teams were travelling to New York the following month in October 97, they played a commemorative match for the 1947 All-Ireland Final, which we played in the Polo Grounds, and the match in 97 was played in Randall's Island. My parents and the youngest sister travelled out from Kerry that occasion too. In the days leading up to the match, the teams arrived. There were different events with both teams, and some of us lucky fans attended. One in particular was a welcome event for the teams in a hotel in Manhattan. Your predecessor, the great Wishy Fogarty, RIP, was there. He interviewed many people that night, including my dad, Paddy, and he began the interview by saying, "Paddy, great night." And it was a very special week, and one that our family thoroughly enjoyed. Great, great memories. We weren't there to celebrate in Ireland, but we certainly did plenty celebrating in New York. Do you know, that's the thing about winning All-Ireland. It's not just the people down the road. It's a small world, people all over the place. On the line now, a fella who has travelled the world, I presume, but he's still living in a small place. Billy Keane, good evening.
Thanks for having me on to pay tribute to the lads.
Absolutely. Can you tell us any stories now that Stephen Stack said that you wouldn't tell us?
Well, I was part of the setup that year. To this day, I can't figure out exactly what I was there for, but I was good friends with Paddy. We'd played together in St. Michael's in Listowel, and we won we didn't lose a match all year, so I think he thought I was lucky, so he called me in anyway, maybe to help the boys relax, which was another word for maybe improving.
You were the sports psychologist of your time, was it?
I didn't have any qualifications in it, no, but I chanced my arm anyway a bit. But they were a great bunch to deal with, the lads were. They were so up for it anyway. The main problem with some of them was to keep them calm, not to build them up before the games. You know, you'd have the likes of Breen, Seamus, Moynihan, and a couple more of them, and Dara. And I remember going to the All-Ireland final. Paddy kind of liked country music and a bit of trial, so Dara put on some kind of mad rock band and all the county board officials were scratching their heads. The boys were so up for it. This thing blasted the music out on the way to the match, you know. I never heard of the band before. I don't think they've ever heard it since, but Dara brought the tape. So Paddy was unique. And the one thing about Paddy, and I think it came through in the programme so far, Paddy was a very intelligent man. You know, the stereotype of shouting and roaring and all this kind of thing. Very seldom would he ever raise his voice. He spoke just before the All-Ireland, we gathered in the grounds of Blackrock College rugby pitch, just down from where the lads were staying. And Paddy gave the last few words and it was very quiet. You could barely hear him. The lads were all there, and the big thing, he says, let no one break the chain. And he had them all in a circle, and it was like awe-inspiring. He just really nailed it. And all through that year, Kinnaird said it as well there, Paddy was on top of everything. Now, he had great men around him, you know, Aoife as well, of course. He had great people with him, you know, Jack, Bernie, John. There was fantastic selectors there as well. So there was brains behind this whole team.
Mm-hmm. I suppose in many ways, Billy, you know, we were starved. I suppose we hadn't won in 11 years, and God almighty, to a Kerry man, 2 years is a long time, but 11 years, it was kind of getting to a stage where if we hadn't won, God knows we might never again have won. So that 97 win, even though
it was the crucial one, yeah, you're so right. It was probably the most important All-Ireland Kerry ever won. And the fans were very demanding. I remember we got out of the bus anyway, for the league final, and I was the first one. I was sitting up near the front, and I was the first one out of the bus. And there was a fella saw me coming out, and he says, "Jesus, that Kerry team, they're very smart." He saw me coming off the bus. So they were all giving out at the time, you know. But the lads were a very tight bunch. And they had great battle. That was the one thing about them. They had great courage. There might have been one or two better teams that went to Croke Park, but there was none with their courage, you know. And Paddy then, of course, Paddy was, he was brilliant, but he was a little bit superstitious, to tell you the truth. I remember we were going to the Munster final anyway. It was against Clare, a right good Clare team. And Paddy saw a magpie anyway, and he said, "Look, a magpie," and you know the old thing, one for sorrow, two for joy. And I said, "Paddy, there's another one just after flying behind that tree there." Is there? I never saw him. You did, Paddy. So we'd have to keep telling them. And then he saw Billy O'Shea, the great Billy O'Shea, my neighbour, great friend, second best pub in Kerry, all time great.
the best this side of the loan, you're meant to say.
Yeah. I got a free pint. But Billy arrived anyway. And Paddy says, "Look, she's a redhead." One redhead, apparently it was bad luck. I said, "There's Hassett beside him." So that was two. So we were all right. This was the way he used to do. But the boys all knew that, and they bought into the bit. And in his own way, he was kind of letting them know, "We're lucky. All the signs were good today." Do you know? And so none of them really were into the superstitions, but Paddy wasn't either, I'd say. It was all roguery, just to get the boys going, relax them, have something to talk about, get a bit of a laugh going. For me, aside from being a great friend, I think, and he had Seamus with him there, but I think he was the man who saved Kerry football that time. Had we gone another year or two, you know, would it have come back? Would fellas have dropped their head? You know, the magic of Kerry would it have gone, you know, that when we went to a match, everybody respected us and sometimes feared us. I think he was the man that brought it all back for us. Never,
you're right there, Billy. Because
never has any Kerry man really done as much as he has done, you know, of all of them.
Yeah.
He's right up there at the top in my book.
Yeah, if it had gone on any longer, I suppose
younger people that were getting into secondary school at that stage, 11 and 12 and 13, they'd never seen an All-Ireland, they never knew what it was won, and I suppose you had a break in that tradition. Billy, I have to ask you, of course, because you're on the phone and it's very handy, you might have to answer. Did you send any old WhatsApp to the godchild?
I did. I was talking to him at 3 o'clock in the morning, New Zealand time. He was suffering from jet lag, even though he wasn't on the plane at that stage yet. He was still in New Zealand. Yeah, they were in great form. They had a great night that night, as you can imagine. And so he, you know, his performance was great. He's actually very he's half a Kerry man. But he's very Kerry in the way he thinks. You know, we brought him to all the matches, his dad, Jerry. And myself, we brought him to Croke Park a good bit, even though he became friends with the Brogans. And they kind of won him over a small bit, but he's all Kerry now, and he'll be going next Sunday. But he has that Kerry mentality, you know, he has that thing. We have to win, we're not going to give in. And I think that came through in spades with him, you know, over the three tests in New Zealand.
Would he have the mentality to win an Kerry championship for you, though?
That might be too tough for him. I sent him a text. He kicked a 48-metre penalty. And I sent him a text and I said, you're only 5 metres behind Shawnee Shea. Keep on trying. You'll get there someday. You know, so he knew all about Shawnee. He saw the video of that and the rest. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Speak to us, Billy, briefly and finally. The homecomings were special because obviously people hadn't seen them and we're getting loads of comments tonight. And it's funny, we thought the show was going to be about the match and the players and the whole lot, but it's kind of taken a different trajectory that people want to talk about the homecomings and the colour and what it meant to their families, and a lot of people are remembering their late dads and uncles and mothers who were there who are no longer there. What was it like when you went to Listowel? Surely you brought a small jeep out for Stephen's sack, did you?
We brought it thrown for him. He'd never do any jeep, that man. You'd have to bring him. No, we were delighted because I would have been involved with him underage a little bit, and full of stall seniors and that, so he was tough man, you know, like great heart, very 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 devoted to the game, thought a lot about the match. We watched the semi-final together and he figured out exactly what he had to do in the final, you know, he was analytical, he proved that afterwards, helping Stax to win the county championship and doing so well in Killarney with Legion as well. So he was like cerebral, I'd say is the word for him, but ferocious. So it was great to have him there. And he brought the cup into John B's, himself and his dad, Morris, who was a big friend of my dad's. And it was a huge moment for us, you know. But my poor dad, anyway, the day of the final, like Stephen was like a kind of a grandchild or a, you know, house, you know. So my poor dad, the day of the final, he hit for Derebog. And he walked and walked. He couldn't watch the match. And he was coming down through the bog. And he saw someone coming up against him. And they had a very sad face, and he says, "We're beat." And the fellow that came against him was Dave from Mayo. So he knew then he won. It took a Mayo man to tell him Kerry won. And of course, then in the long hours of the winter, he watched the video 500 times. And that's the way it's what Wordsworth said, emotion recollected in tranquility. So I think it meant a lot to the older fellas. There was an old man, since deceased, Joe Relahan, used to come in to us, and he used to say, "Will I ever see Kerry win another All-Ireland?" And so he lived on to see 5 or 6 more after that. But 97, I can't overemphasize the importance of it and what it meant to the Kerry psyche, to our sense of self-belief, our tradition, our self-worth, what we believe in, where we came from. That was all part of the incredible win in 97.
They're great words, Billy. I'll end with a JFK one because I know you like great quotes. Victory has 1,000 fathers, but defeat is an orphan. And I think we were orphans for 11 years, and as soon as we won, we had plenty of fathers. Final comment there for you coming on the line. Hello to Billy. Let him know I was ready and representing as best I could for Noel Andy for the semi-final. I'll be wearing here in Rockland, New York on Sunday morning, and that's from Eileen Andy O'Connell. And
That was Noel, our great friend who passed away, the Casavine man, and helped so many people in New York, got a load of fellas started with jobs and everything. Fanatical GA man and a brilliant writer as well. So good luck to everyone in Rockland. They're keeping his name.
They're the O'Connells from the Born and Shraw, the song as well. And of course, your aunt moved to Carsevine as well. We minded her back there for plenty of years as well.
I have two aunts. Carsevine. One was Sister Vincent. We called her Auntie Kathleen. She was there. And my Auntie Sheila, of course, then as they call her, Sheila Jeffries. Hello to all the Jeffries as well in Carsevine. And my Auntie Sheila, she was a gas woman as well. And they said she was better than any doctor. She was working in the pharmacy that my cousin Jeff runs now, you know, so.
Well, you'd want to be really sick to go into Sheila anyway, because she wasn't prescribing any medicine for you unless you were properly sick anyway. So she was a great lady, and she kept plenty of people alive. Thanks very much, Billy. Fair play to you. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks, I know you're busy. I'm delighted to get a chance to pay tribute to such a fantastic team.
Not at all. Great words, absolutely. Now, loads of comments coming in. If I get through them, because Ivan will be after me if I don't get through all these comments, because people have taken the time to get on to us, which is fantastic. This is one that I like, because it came from Virginia and County Cavan. Now, the boys might remember it. You might have been called on the field maybe for it as well. But in the All-Ireland semi-final, Eamon Breen fouled Raymond Cunningham more times that day than Mick McCarthy did Georgie Hadji in Italia 90.
I know, just the rules were a little bit different that time. So,
and it comes from Sean Cunningham in Virginia County, Cavan. So I don't know if Sean Cunningham is related to Raymond Cunningham, but for any bruises that might have been incurred, we apologise 25 years later. Eamon Breen, that half back line, Eamon Breen, Seamus Moynihan, Liam Flaherty. I mean, good God, Seamus or Stephen, you couldn't ask for tougher men in front of you.
I know, they were fantastic. You know, they were brilliant, to be fair, you know, and sure, look, to be fair, Donald, if the ball went inside, it would have been well covered as well. So, but
they cannot keep a beautiful goal.
I mean, that was a phenomenal, in fairness, that was a great half back line. But the lads will tell you, and this is no word of a lie, in the lead up to the All Ireland, Palade, who had a brilliant year that year, won an All Star, and so did Eamon. They were always marking each other. And any time Pat came into the dressing room, Aoife will tell you after the match, Pat take off his jersey, and all you could see in the back of Paz from his neck down to his back was claw marks, and that was from Eamon Breen, right? Because the two of them were absolutely used to tear into each other. And I was glad somebody said earlier on about Liam's performance in the final, because only that Morris was so good in that final, and he was absolutely unbelievable. Liam was the second next best player, who in any other year probably would have got man of the match. He was extraordinary, and how he didn't manage to get an All-Star that year is absolute. I know it's 35 years later, I've said this before, is beyond me. But actually, one of the lovely memories I have, and I was there that day that Billy was below on the house as well, he looked after all of us, was Liam and myself and Eamon. Actually, Liam brought us up to Ballydunno to meet Eddie Dowling, the great Eddie Dowling, God rest him, who's passed away, and we got a fantastic picture. Eddie was driving the big black wall, it was like a high nilly, and we got a lovely picture, the three of us together with him. But one of the other people that I'd like to remember, Donald, as well, is the great Tim Kennelly, who was a great footballing role model for me when I was growing up. And I can remember, people wouldn't remember this, he used to train above in the sports field in Listowel with a black polythene bag over him, and his two hands taken out of it, just so that he'd sweat off the excesses of the winter. He was a huge inspiration to me, as people in Listowel were. And you know, I wouldn't be here talking to you if it hadn't been for that fantastic club that I grew up in, who were absolutely brilliant to me growing up, and I suppose gave me a sense of purpose through football as well. So I'm thinking of everybody and all the coaches that I had all the way up along. Very fortunate as well that Billy was in the club with us, and indeed Billy Keane, who was a great coach of mine in the early days, along with a great friend of ours. Unfortunately, Billy would know him very well, the two Billys, Eric Brown, who's sadly not with us anymore. So I'm thinking of all those as well, you know.
Yeah, it's amazing. It does bring up all those people who have been so good to us down the past. We have to take a break. After the break, we're going to come back, we're going to have a few words from Padraig Joyce, which I think you'll enjoy, and then we'll get into the All-Ireland final debate.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, live from O'Shea's Bar, Killoglan, to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the 97 All-Ireland winning team. O'Shea's Bar, Killoglan, the next best place to croker to watch the big game.
Now the comments coming in, Aoife Dowd on Twitter, of course. Great show tonight. First All-Ireland I can remember for Kerry, the Obsession, but there long before that. Also the Joker hats with the bells. Yeah, absolutely. I can actually see them now. They need to be brought back. Yeah, they were pretty cool, Aoife. Fair play to you. Great comment. Best luck to the Kerry team on Sunday. Bring Sam home now. We have Liam in Limerick. Would be great to have both cups as neighbours. Can't wait to see David Clifford, a class act, and that's Mary Shaughnessy from Kilfinan in County Limerick. Always a great supporter. Fair play to you, Mary, and keep the green and gold. And absolutely congratulations to you to bring in the hurling one home as well. Now, a man who is focused on getting his team ready for the weekend, of course, is Patrick Joyce. So I decided to go up to the press conference and annoy him for a minute and 7 seconds, and I asked him this question.
Whole aspect of football, because I'm down to Tralee, like, you know, you're playing with the players. Like, in the time that Kerry won their Ireland in, oh, was it 97? I was under 98, you know, and like, you're playing with Seamus Minehan, William Kirby, Barry O'Shea. Do you know, name a few, can I get a few of them out there? You know, Mike Frank Russell was there for a while, Jack Ferrato was there, you know, brilliant players, like, but great lads, like, you know, but to see them training and to see the humility of them fellas, you know, the way they trained and how they trained, you know, you're thinking, like, you know, Jade, I'm not too far away from that, like, you know, and lo and behold, we went up on one of the next year, you know, in Galway, because Michael Donlan was on there that year with me as well for the year, like, so, but great fellas, I have great memories of Kerry, and, you know, the relationship with Kerry, I'd have had a huge respect for Kerry, as people know, and I'd be down there a good bit, so look, it definitely shaped my career in football, I think, anyways, yeah.
Does it surprise you that that team is coming out on the pitch on Sunday as well, as 25 years champions?
Oh, they out.
They're getting their suits fitted in there.
Imagine, yeah. So that's how time flies, isn't it? But no, great side to finish the match. They were a good squad. I remember the homecoming that time that came down. It was in the middle of Tralee in our student accommodation, where we're throwing a few cans out to them on top of the bus and going through. But I would look a great squad. I remember him and Breen them as well, and Liam Farty were knocking on that time, Pele.
There you go, Patrick Joyce, of course, remembering the team of 97. Just a couple of comments. Donald Benny Dunno have given some great players over the years that have played senior championship with Kerry. Gus Crimmin, Mick Finucane, Eddie Dowell and J.D. O'Connor, John Bunyan, Liam Flaherty and Jason Foley. The O'Shea brothers were probably the two best defenders in the country at the time, Morgan and Barry. Hopefully Morgan and Barry didn't send that in, surely. I presume they're wrong about Morgan and Barry. They wouldn't do that, would they? They wouldn't send in a comment about themselves being the best defenders in the country, would they?
Morgan, we've two of that squad, Donald, they're working abroad at the moment. Sean Burke is in Singapore. I was talking to him today, and Morgan is, he's actually in the country at the moment. He's been in Australia with Megan and the family for the last number of years, so we'll have a full house next weekend. It'll give you an idea that, you know, the spirit that's been in that squad, that they both of them made a huge effort to come back for it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Donald, I've such fond memories of that day in 1997, because we travelled with my father and grandfather, now both deceased. At the time, I remember my grandfather telling me to watch the legends of 1947 who were introduced to the crowd at half time. He played football with Eddie Dowling and Mick Finucane, who were from the same club as Liam Flaherty. I remember him saying that day that Eddie Dowling was one of the best players ever. Tis amazing, isn't it, to think that the team of 1947 in the Polo Grounds were getting introduced at halftime in 97, and 25 years later, that's 75 years of tradition there in just two names from one club. It's absolutely amazing.
That week we had in New York was a phenomenal week altogether. It just coincided with Kevin getting, it was planned obviously very early on. We got to the final and Kevin got to the semi-final, so it was an awful lot of people actually from that time, elderly Kerry supporters went over. I remember Gus was there, a lot of the people that were mentioned, the Ballydun made that trip as well, so that was a very special week over there as well. That was a bit of a haze as well, Billy.
I don't know, I didn't make that trip. I missed out on a lot.
Fair play. Well, stay there now. We're listening up. We're going to talk to the All-Ireland final, obviously. I mean, 97, look, it's fantastic. It's brilliant. We're going to put it in the box now and put it away, because there's another one on the table that we can win. And God knows, I suppose if Stephen Sack knows anything, you never know when you win your last one, Stephen, from 1986. So we better go out and try and win this one. Aoife, completely off the ball, you have two sets of groups preparing for the All-Ireland final now, Kerry and Galway, and obviously all the training on the field and the whole lot, but obviously the backroom team and keeping them in shape and fitness and maybe the odd injection or whatever. What are the two teams looking at the moment? How are they trying to keep those teams fresh? Are they looking at Knox? What kind of work do you think is going on in the background?
I'd say at this stage, to be honest, I suppose a lot of the hard work is done, a lot of the training is done and so on, and you know, it's basically, as you said, it's keeping people fresh and keeping trying to keep people as relaxed as possible and not let any niggle or any sort of injury worry anybody, and I suppose a bit of reassurance that you're going to be fine, and you know you're trying to work as a physio, probably trying to work your hardest to make sure they will be fine, but at the same time you're telling fellas, you know, as much as you can, giving them reassurance that it'll be fine on the day. And to be honest, like if you think about it, a Gaelic football game, it's 60-70 minutes, you know, you'll get away with a lot over that time frame. You can, you know, over the years, I suppose, and this is, you know, Billy was talking earlier about Paddy and what a great manager of men he was. You know, from my perspective and having worked with the guy, to me, he was the greatest sports psychologist that ever walked the earth, because I saw the way Paddy was able to support fellas to really get them up for a game. And, you know, he knew his players inside out. He knew, you know, he didn't treat every player the same, because you don't treat. No two people are the same. And different players need different treatment and different, whether it's physio treatment or, you know, coaching or support or, you know, getting them revved up and psyched up for the game and so on. So to me, the best manager is the man who can actually understand and get inside the heads of his players, and that's what Paddy was fantastic at doing. And you know, I consider myself privileged to have worked alongside him. But back to the present day, I think things have probably moved on an awful lot in terms of the sports physio world and the strength and conditioning world since, you know, over the last 25 years. But the basics of the game are still the same, you know, the basics of getting players as fit as possible, as ready as possible, and as up for it as possible, and, you know, giving players the reassurance that they can go hell for leather on the day without any injury bothering them.
Mm-hmm. Billy, Paddy Joyce and Jack O'Connor, I suppose, you know, they certainly know their players inside out now, definitely at this stage. I know it's Jack's first year, but he has enough history to know the team that he has and the players that he has, and he has the minors coming on. Will either of those managers approach it differently? I mean, it's there to be won, and I presume both managers are going to go and see this as a game that they should win, but they'll be awfully disappointed if they don't win.
Oh yeah, I would imagine that Padraig Joyce is going in probably the better of the two because of the favourites tag that Kerry will have. What tactic he will come up with will be interesting to see. I mean, the game against Derry certainly wasn't a spectacle by any manner of means. It was a disappointing game to watch, if anything. It was very defensive, it was very cautious, totally not like the style of football that Padraig Joyce played as a footballer himself, and I'm sure it isn't the kind of football that he would like to implement. However, having said that, if Galway come down with the mentality, or go to Dublin with the mentality of trying to play football with Kerry like they did below and Tralee in the National League some time ago, then they could be in for a rude awakening. I think that Kerry will be going into this match as hot favourites. And when you are hot favourites, the one thing you don't want to be doing is thinking about the term hot favourites. You know, people are saying, get complacent because you're going to be hot favourites for this game. I would always encourage a team, if you are the hot favourites, use that tag to go out and express yourself. Go out and play the type of football that makes you the hot favourites. Don't be going out with any negativity of thinking, okay, we're the favourites, I have to do this and I have to do that. Don't think it. Don't overthink it. Because if you start overthinking the hot favourites tag, you will freeze. And by freezing, you're not going to play. So I would imagine Jack being in this position, like he was in 2004 against Mayo when Kerry were hot favourites, he just went out and left them play the brand of football that he knows that they can play. And I think that's where Jack's experience will really come into the fore the next day. And I think that'll probably be the winning of the game from a Kerry point of view, because Galway are a different outfit. It's their first All-Ireland final in a long time, and it's going to be a new experience for them. I don't think Padraig has the experience yet. He is a very, very good manager and was a very good player, and I think he will have success with Galway in the future, but I don't see it happening this year for them yet.
Okay, well, we'll take a break, and after a break we'll ask Stephen Sack for his view.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, live from O'Shea's Bar, Killoglan, to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the 97 All-Ireland winning team. O'Shea's Bar, Killoglan, the next best place to Croker to watch the big game.
They're going to come back at Kerry, there's no doubt at all about it. That was hard-looking Seamus Wynne, he came across the cover of his men, and when the ball was coming in, he had his eye on the ball, he didn't have his eye on the men, and it was one of those incidental kind of fouls which the referee decided, well, it was intentional, and he gave the free in there, cuts the lead now, 8 points to four. Mayo going to come back at the same, and we want to open it up and attack and get the next score.
Morris Estelle is going to take on Pat Holmes here. Can he float one in? Can he send it high? He does, and over the bar. Morris Estelle is a class footballer.
of that there is no doubt, and it's 10 points to goal. Hollis Fitzgerald, the Tiger Woods of Gaelic, but bang on out about it. Eamon Breen, the Finnoog man, great stuff there by the North Kerry men. Cut up the field there, and how well Eamon Breen used the ball there. Pass it up to Hollis Fitz, a lovely pass there, and Pat Holmes don't know what to do. Will I dive in? Will I try to block his kick? If I dive in, he'll sell me dummy. If he sells me dummy, he'll go around me. If he goes around me, he could finish up in the back of the net. I don't know what I'm going to do, to let him kick and it goes over the bar. A lovely pint by Hollis Fitzgerald again.
Absolutely, the wonderful words of course Liam Higgins and the wonderful Wishy Fogarty, always remembered here on Terrace Talk. Stephen, this is a must win game for both managers. Obviously, I suppose the pressure is on managers to deliver. I was above in Galway. Patrick Joyce says it's his third year. He came in saying we're going to win in All-Ireland. How can Kerry win this All-Ireland the next day, you think?
Yeah, well, I don't think, you know, Jack or the management team or the players are going to take Galway as a team for granted, because there would be huge respect in Kerry for any Galway team that comes out, particularly the football teams, because I can remember back to, was it last year's league? Was it Patrick's second year? They played us in a National League game inside in Tralee, mm-hmm. and I don't know how they managed to lose the game, because they were significantly better than us, and caused us an awful lot of problems up front that day. This is Patrick's third year. This has been a real breakthrough year for him. He was a brilliant footballer himself. He's a very good manager. Galway teams generally, like, they're not prolific in terms of coming to the table competing for All-Ireland semi-finals and finals, but the one thing you'll find about them is when they come with a team,
very competitive.
Generally they're good enough to win one, and they're quite unique in that respect. And so, you know, Jack has an awful lot of experience along with his management team. They certainly won't be taking them for granted. You know, in terms of what I see different about Kerry this year, one thing that's been consistent with the way they've played is that they're generally clinical with their finishing, and they were clinical the last day, and it had to be against Dublin. But the other thing I think that's maybe a little bit different, when they don't have the ball, I think collectively they're an awful lot more responsible now than they have been previously. So every one of the players from 1 to 19 or 20 understands that when Kerry lose possession, it's everybody's responsibility, no matter what position you're in the pitch, and to get it back. That requires an awful lot of energy and hard work, Donal, and you know, you need fellas prepared to do that. And that's why I think, you know, the work that Jack has done in bringing in their defensive coach has been fantastic this year. If there was one moment, I suppose, that I would have taken out of the semi-final that maybe defines the difference in the mentality this year and their maturity as a squad, because they were very young the last couple of years, to be fair to them, it was in that moment in the second half when we retained the ball for what seemed like about 2 or 3 minutes, that eventually ended up with Paddy Clifford punching a point over the bar. Now, for me, in the last couple of years, I think Kerry might have even panicked in a situation like that, and they might have shelled and gone for a shot which wasn't done. They showed a huge amount of maturity under enormous pressure when Dublin were coming back with them, and they trusted each other and trusted themselves to work that into pretty much an 80% chance of a score. And I think that's probably the difference I've seen this year. But I would be very, very wary of Galway, because they have players that won't be one bit intimidated about playing in an All-Ireland final for the first time. And I think, as Eamon Fitzmaurice or Derek and Ada might have pointed out recently, they've had great success at underage level as well. So, and generally the mentality of Galway players when they come to Croke Park, they're not coming worried about winning. They expect to perform. So,
yeah, I was in Galway, and I mean the confidence is there. Matthew Tierney, he was saying that, you know, in the Segerson, we beat the best of Kerry in the Tralee IT team. We've beaten them at under 21 level. You know, it's a thing that doesn't rest. At that, I went to Jack, of course, obviously, and I asked Jack a very serious question: that who from the 97 team would make this team?
If there was one player, or maybe two, from the 97 team that you'd like to have on your bench the next day?
Maybe we wouldn't mind a couple of them playing, you know. You wouldn't mind a couple of them playing. We've never been on the bench at all. Sure. That was a great side, you know. The
Pelly and
Morris Fitzes and
William Kirby midfield.
And Seamus Winans and Dossalas. Sure, they were great players, and they were generational players, and they get on any team at all. So I don't think we'd have them on the bench at all. They'd be playing.
Absolutely, they wouldn't be on the bench. He never mentioned either two lads. Did he not need a cornerback or a one-legged Billy O'Shea? No.
No, I don't think so, Donald. We're happy over 97, we were grand old. We'll stay with that time frame.
Billy, look, it's amazing. We're in injury time already. It's been a fantastic show. I swear, I've done what Ivan's here beside me. He's counting every show I do. I'm a bit like yourself, Billy Joe. A first year kind of I'm inexperienced, he said, but I'm getting there. Thanks for letting us into your house tonight. I mean, it is a wonderful house. I mean, at one stage you did have 28 degrees. It's about 14 degrees out here now in Killargland. The jackets are on and everything outside, Billy. But aside from not being able to measure the temperature, explain your business to us, because it's absolutely fantastic. I mean, I'm all ready to come back to Puck, because you can't get a seat at Puck, but there's plenty of seats around here outdoors.
Yeah, it's we took over the bar in 2010 after the fire which destroyed the building, and luckily enough we were able to put it back. And in the course of time, I was always developing this area here that we're in tonight, which is the garden area. And bit by bit, we've kind of added to it every year. We started off as a little can bar, myself and my good wife, and we said this will be something we'll chance and see how we get on. And over the years, as time went on, we've always added to it. And I see a young man down there with his fiancée, Sully, who has an awful lot to answer for. He's the guy who's put an awful lot of this in the last 12 months together as well, so I have to thank him as well. But yeah, it's something that has kind of evolved over time. It's something I always had an idea of having, a kind of a garden area off a bar. And unfortunately, with COVID and all that, it's kind of decimated a few places, luckily for us, because of the space that we had, that we were able to kind of put this together. So we've gone wholeheartedly for it, and I really have to thank my wife Ema as well. She's been a great support in helping us to develop this place as well. But as you can see, it's cosy, and we're not finished yet. We're going to do a few more things as well in time, but we'll try and develop what we have. And I see young James Hayes there. He's lots to answer for as well. He put on the grounding as well, and it's good to see them here this evening as well. But it's going well, and I think that this is the kind of the business model that a lot of places would like to have, an outdoor an area that they can kind of push their business on. And unfortunately, that seems to be the way it's going. But luckily for us, we had the space, so we were able to use it. So thankfully, it's worked out so far, and so hopefully good for the future.
All you need now is Lone Rangers to win a county championship, and you have them all back here in the garden.
They don't have to win county championships to come in here, Donald. They can come in any time that they want.
You hear that? And you'll take clubs outside Lone Rangers land as well, will you?
Oh, sure. Listen, Donald, this is a universal club in here. We're not selective by any matter of means. Everybody's welcome to call in, all clubs and everything.
God, Stephen Sack, things have changed, haven't they, since the late 90s when Lone Rangers were hammering the rest of Kerry off the field?
Yeah, like in that time, Billy, if you remember yourself and Mike Frank and Liam and Mike were on the team, and you lot more afterwards as well. They were absolutely a powerhouse. Yeah. And I'm thinking of my good colleague Joe Shannon, who was he must have about 30 mid-Kerry championship medals. Is he nearly as many as Brian Sheehan has in South Kerry?
No, Shane Sullivan has the record. He's got 17 and Billy Shea has second with 15.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Joe has only 12.
Yeah. Stephen, yeah. You have 40 seconds to thank all your family.
Lovely. Yeah, look, on behalf of the squad, I suppose, and we're all meeting up and delighted to be meeting up, and thanks be to God we're all fit and healthy. Just a big thanks to yourselves, Donal, and to Billy for having the show tonight. It was something Billy mentioned a couple of weeks back. There was a gang of us kind of that are trying to keep that squad together. So a huge thank you to you, Donal, and a huge thank you to Billy. Aoife she wasn't just a brilliant physio, she was also a brilliant psychologist as well, I can tell you. She was a very special lady in our setup. But to Barry and William Kirby and Shamo, Derek and Ada, Peter earlier, they're all the guys, look, that help us to try and keep the group together. I just want a few very quick ones. Donald Johnson, O'Shea and Croaks was phenomenal for us. We had a reunion in 2017 and he put some great material together, and we've a little bit of a surprise for the lads before the week is out as well, which a number of us are involved in, including Killian. Kerry Group weren't mentioned tonight. They've been incredible sponsors, Donald, for the Kerry teams going right back, good days and bad days. And they were huge help to us when we did the reunion as well, as was Tomás Garvey. Want to give a mention to Kerry Kennelly and Kerry's Eye, who's given us some great pictures for something internal that we're doing amongst the group, and Donald Nolan, the Kerry men. And on nights like this, look, we'll never forget Paddy, we'll never forget Bernie Callaghan, Johnny Kelly and the great spa club, Tom O'Connor and Seamus McArdle and Dr. Dave as well, because they were all very close to us. Two final mentions. Sean Hussey told me yesterday that he's 25 years providing sartorial elegance to Kerry team, so I want to wish Sean well. And I know Mick Morton has done it for the minors as well. And the last thing is that Paddy said to me when we were going up into Croke Park, actually, Dennis Brosnan, who was the former CEO of Kerry Group with a Kerry jersey on him, he said he gave him a great old lift. Last thing I'd say, and this is an appeal on behalf of the county board, there's a house for a draw for 100 euros, which is up for raffle at the moment. And look, if it's too much for anybody, perhaps a couple of people in the family or a couple of friends could buy tickets, because I know that the closing date for that is after the All Ireland final, and it all goes towards a great cause, which is Kerry football.
Fair play, Chair. Listen, and I have to thank Ivan, Keane, and Trevor over there this evening. I'm going to finish on a poem. Okay, I meant to read it back in '97. There was no chance of winning tickets, so I had to write poems to win tickets. O'Leary O'Keefe O'Canada and Stack, the O'Shea's Palade and the Bowl Brian Clark, Seamus Moynihan, John Crowley, Niamh Breen, there's Kirby, the Hassetts, and Young Burns, the hero from Sneem. Look back on the Simi and Young Russell, remember, to the others such as Flaherty and fellow panel members. And let's not forget Maurice Fitzgerald will deliver on Sam returning to Kerry. Let's bet a fiver. Last year, Liam Griffin wrapped his team in prayer, but Paddy cannot afford an indulgence so rare. The followers have taken to their help with the task. To Lourdes we did go, and Our Lady we did ask. And by God, fair play, whoever asked those prayers in Lourdes in 97, we'll pray for you. And that, of course, came from Mairead McCarthy, a fine Rathmore woman and a great supporter of Declan O'Keefe's. Thank you very much. And thank you for all the people that joined us this evening. And as I said, Donald Barry, out.